to Outdoors Radio, brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource, on the web at lake-link.com, and by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com. I'm Dan Small, and Jeff Kelm is with me once again.
Yeah.
How are you today?
Very good. Yourself?
I'm pretty good.
Good.
So you were kind of busy last weekend, I understand.
I had a few things to do, yeah. Well, I got a chance to check out the Coho Derby and the Super Tournament Derby in Sheboygan,
uh-huh.
Wisconsin.
And how did that go?
It was very exciting, actually. There's a lot of fish, a lot more fish than I expected to come in. A lot of guys fishing very hard, especially that first morning. The winning fish, the big fish, was 26.5.
Ooh, that's a good
big
size
king.
Yeah.
Big king salmon. 15.5 Laker was brought in as well to top the Laker division. 16.1 Brown Trout was brought in. That's a nice big brown trout as well. And, of course, they always run a great tournament down there. So
yeah, good.
It's a lot of fun. Plus, got a chance to take a, boy, it was about a 25-minute walk in the Kettle Moraine State Forest area in western Sheboygan County. The mosquitoes are so bad this year.
Bugs, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it was, I expected to, you know, deal with a few, but that was some of the worst case of mosquitoes I have seen, especially in the middle of a forest, in a long time.
Yeah.
It was really
it's
bad.
It's been that way all summer in the woods in our area, in Ozaukee County, and just about everywhere I've been in the state, except western Wisconsin.
So how about you? What did you do?
Well, I was up for the Outdoor Writers Conference, the Wisconsin Outdoor Communicators Association in Eagle River. We meet there every year, and we heard from Matt Frank of the DNR Secretary and Brad Eggold of the Department of Natural Resources, Lake Michigan Fisheries, and some other good seminars as well. And then we got to go fishing. I fished on Sunday morning with Gary Myshak of Gare's Guide Service. And Gary and I fished together once before.
Okay.
He fishes the Sugar Camp chain. He's a heck of a fisherman. But we had a cold front come through the night before. I mean, it was, I don't know, it was in the 80s when I drove up there, and it cooled off that night, and wind was blowing out of the northwest, and I think it was about 40 degrees in the morning.
Yeah.
And needless to say, that kind of puts the muskies down.
Sure, that puts a lot of fish down,
yeah. We saw one fish, and we were out with actually Cindy and Charlie Overton of Blackpot Demos, and with Alan and Joan McQuinn. He's from Rockford, Illinois. He's a writer from down there. And he and Joan were fishing with Paul Hansen, another guide up there, and they caught one small muskie and a couple of northerns on a bait that Gary gave them. He gave them a little MEPS muskie killer, and he said, here, try this. And but do you think that we would catch, we would think to put one of those baits
on?
Of course not. No, we used everything else.
You knew what you had was going to catch fish.
Well, I just did what Gary said. And you just never, you know, Gary, if you're listening to this, sorry, man. But, you know, we realized that after they told us that they'd caught a couple of pike and that muskie. Hey, wait a minute. They've caught three fish on this bait. What's the matter with that? Anyway, that happens. But we've got some winners. We had a lot of entries last week for the Great Outdoors Festival tickets, and we're giving four tickets away to Mike Island, Todd Kelly, Latham Winstead, Virgil Dawson, and Sly Orlowski. And that's for next weekend's Great Outdoors Festival. And we've got more tickets to give away, so if you get on the phone right now and call 414-297-7554. Leave your name and phone number, and if you're the lucky winner, we will get in touch with you and send you a set of four tickets so you and your family or friends can go enjoy the Great Outdoors Festival.
So what's coming up then this week?
Well, Jeff, we're going to talk with Judy because she was up there fishing when I was fishing. Actually, she fished a couple days before me. And she's got
before
a better
the front,
report.
Huh?
Yeah, before the front. Yeah, we'll hear. And Dan Desiker of the Rough Grouse Society will talk about a very special council that he's on that is going to work on getting more hunting in on federal lands. We'll get a fishing report from Roger LaPenter of Anglers All in Ashland, and we'll talk with Wendy Hillsberg of the Oshkosh Convention and Visitors Bureau about next weekend's Great Outdoors Festival. And Cindy Overton of Blackpot Demos is going to give us a recipe for cowboy beans this time.
Excellent.
All that and more right after this.
Don't miss the Great Outdoors Festival at the EAA Convention Grounds in Oshkosh. It all starts August 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. The whole family can enjoy a variety of hands-on activities, and it's right in your backyard. Whether it's shooting, fishing, driving ATVs and trucks, biking, dog training, climbing, or boating, you can see, try, and buy it all at the Great Outdoors Festival. See log rolling exhibitions from the world champion Lumberjills and shooting demos from Tom Knapp. Meet NASCAR driver Dexter Bean. See the Dock Dogs, mountain rack scoring by Boone and Crockett, and the latest in outdoor products and much more. Bring the family dog and enter the new Fastest Retrieve Competition. Get advanced discount tickets at participating Festival Foods and Gander Mountain locations or online at greatoutdoorsfestival.com. You don't have to drive far to do it all at the Great Outdoors Festival at the EAA, August 22nd through the 24th. Sponsored by Toyota, Honda, Discover Wisconsin, John Deere, Kawasaki, Kubota, Kimco USA, Polaris Industries, Tractor Supply Company, The Sportsman Channel, Yamaha, Cabela's, Wisconsin Public Service Corp, Miller Bradford and Risberg, and Whitetail Unlimited.
Midwestern Shooters Supply is the place to go for great deals on all your outdoor gear. Stop in today at the corner of Highways 41 and 67 in Lomira, or look for their huge display at the Wisconsin Sports Fest August 15th and 16th, and at the Great Outdoors Festival August 22 through 24. At both Oshkosh events, Midwestern will offer closeout prices on clothing by Whitewater Outdoors, Gamehide, Under Armour, and Scentlock. And all hunting gear on display at these shows is priced at 5% off. Save money on in-store specials, too. Buy a new Quest bow by G5 and get $100 worth of G5 accessories. Bring in your bow to get it ready for fall hunting and get 25% off on a bow tune-up. And get 5% off on all guns and optics at the store through Labor Day. Midwestern has a limited supply of complimentary tickets to the Wisconsin Sports Fest. Pick up yours while the supply lasts. Visit Midwestern Shooters Supply today. Call 920-269-4995 or shop online at mwshooters.com.
Milford Hills Hunt Club near Johnson Creek features Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility and much more. Milford Hills is open to the public Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday for Sporting Clays shooting and fine dining in a first-class lodge restaurant. Let Milford Hills Hunt Club cater your client or corporate outing, fundraiser, wedding, or bachelor party. On the web at milfordhills.com or call 920-699-2249. That's 920-699-2249.
Sportsman's Warehouse is America's premier outfitter. Your new Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse is a Wisconsin-owned company that features everyday low pricing with the most knowledgeable staff in the industry. On the rare occasion a local competitor has a lower price, your Sportsman's Warehouse store will do everything they can to meet or beat that price. You'll find the best prices on great brands like Danner, Benelli, Remington, PSE, Browning, St. Croix, Filson, Drake, and many more at Sportsman's Warehouse.
This next segment is brought to you by Midwestern Shooters Supply at the intersection of Highways 41 and 67 in Lomira and on the web at mwshooters.com. And you know, Jeff, it's also our fishing report.
Yeah, I love these. Fishing report. Love to find out where people are catching fish and where I'm not.
Well, we're going to find out, I'll tell you. And this segment is brought to you by also Mercury Outboards. Mercury is number one on the water, and by Crestliner Boats. And Ms. Crestliner joining us here, Judy Nugent, has been fishing up a storm, as we heard last week. And this week, Judy, you were up north in Vilas County where I was, but you actually caught fish, didn't you?
That's right, Jeff. Go to Eagle River. You
okay.
Can't miss.
All right, I'll do my best.
Yeah, well, don't go after the cold front. Fish before the cold front,
right,
which Judy did. And tell us what you did.
Well, I had a blast up there. I started off fishing with Patricia Strutz. Everyone knows her, a blonde in her boat.
Mm-hmm.
She was in a bronze Crestliner, of all things. I hadn't seen it in that
one. Oh, yeah, I had one of those one year. Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty.
Pretty color, yes.
Yeah, I really like that. So we went out to an unnamed small Vilas County lake.
Right, of which there are only about 2,500.
Oh, so. I know. Well, this one was really kind of rudimentary. It didn't have any porta-potties, and it didn't have a name. You know, it barely had a launch, you know, one of those kind of places.
That narrows it down a little. But
yeah, well, you know, we went out and we tried. We got an early start, 5 a.m., and tried to move some muskies, and we saw two. but we weren't able to connect. But I was very much impressed with the stamina it takes to fish for muskies all day long. And Patricia told me all about the Women on the Water programs that she does to promote women and get them out into fishing, learn how to back up their boat. All, you know, she has couples weekends and things like that. And I asked her, I said, you know, what do you do when you take women out and they don't catch a muskie?
Yeah.
I said, does that discourage them? Do they shy away? She's like, oh, no. They, you know, they see it as a challenge. And they come back the next weekend or the next year, and, you know, sooner or later they get one. And then they finally understand.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I don't have a lot of muskie experience. I don't know about you guys. Well, Dan, you do.
Enough, yeah, but...
I don't have much at all.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, I didn't either, and I'm like, all right, what is everybody talking about? So the next day, I got to go out with Don Marley, who has been guiding in the Eagle River, you know, for 15 years plus. Really knows the stuff, and you know you got a good guide when he shows up and he's all suntan.
yep, with the raccoon eyes because of the sunglasses, yeah.
Yeah, that's Don. Mm-hmm. So he took me to the Three Lakes chain, and we fished tubes for smallies, which is another technique I've never really tried. I mean, I have tubes, and I've used them in the harbors, like jigging for browns and stuff, but I've never really cast them for smallies. So we're casting rocks and stuff, and he catches this little smallie, like 10-incher, and he's bringing it in. He's like, look at the muskie. And there's my camera guy right there, and he's this muskie's following this poor little smallmouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we didn't get him. Don puts on that rod, picks up a muskie rod, gets the muskie to follow, but not connect. So he's like, well, I'm going to let that rest a while. And so I'm just casting the same spot I've been casting for, you know, 10 minutes as he's playing around with this muskie. Boom! I hook into a 5-pound smallie.
Whoa.
Oh, it was awesome. Bigger than the Ptarmigan Bay smallie.
Yeah, yeah.
So just had a blast. So we finished out the TV show. We kept doing catching more smallies. We caught 6 or 7. We closed the show, and then Don's like, hey, let's go back after that muskie. So he puts on one of those MEPS muskie killer thingies.
Yep.
And he's like, here, warm up, practice, because, of course, I'm a total spaz. And so I'm practicing.
With a bait casting rod, you mean.
Yeah, with a bait casting rod. I don't know
anything. Not with a fly rod. You're a whiz with that. But anyway,
So he stops way far away from where the muskie actually is, and then we start creeping forward, and he's like, all right, Judy, you know, it's going to be coming up here. Third cast. Mm. This muskie just erupts. It's all visual. The camera's right on it.
Mm-hmm.
This huge thing just inhales this muskie, this MEPS spinner. And the thing comes right toward the boat, alongside the boat, and boom, Don's got it netted. And I was just shaking. I mean, the adrenaline.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it wasn't even big. It was a 38-incher, which to me, it's huge.
It's a big fish, yeah.
You got me shaking. I was so excited about listening to that story. I can see it. Yeah, it's awesome.
Jeff, amazing. Finally, you know, it's like all, you know, 90 hours of boredom for 10 seconds of just sheer adrenaline.
That's what musky fishing is like, and that's why people do it, because it's that, you know, it's that final punch when one comes in, and you don't even have to catch them, but you did.
Yeah, I got it, and Don's like, oh, hold up that lure so people can see it. So the camera guy's right there taking a close-up of my hand shaking like an inch either way, you know, I caught it on this. So it'll be an interesting TV show. I think I'm squealing like a girl.
Well, neat. Very good.
Yeah, you know, and I just hope that it encourages more women, you know, to try it, or newbies. Is it going to take a lot of work? Yes. Was I sore for 2 days? You betcha. But once you get it, you know, it's that challenge. You know, you got to sit in a tree stand for a long time before you arrow that deer, and it's kind of the same thing with muskies. And, boy, a lot of fun. It was hard to come home, but... You know, you do what you can.
All right. Well, we're going to give you a break for a couple of weeks here to get your bearings and to plan some late summer, early fall outings, and we will talk to you again real soon, though.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks a lot, Judy. That segment was brought to you by Mercury Outboards, Mercury number one on the water, and by Crestliner Boats. And it was also brought to you by Midwestern Shooter Supply at the intersection of Highways 41 and 67 in Lomira, on the web at mwshooters.com.
Well, Dan, what's coming up on Outdoor Wisconsin this next week?
Well, next week, Jeff, I'm fly fishing for muskies on the Chippewa River, and this time I'm going to catch one. And Pat Ehlers of the Fly Fishers in Milwaukee is giving us a fly tying tip. But there are a lot of events coming up around the state, aren't there?
You bet. New Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse. They got a meat processing, sausage making, and smoking workshop Tuesday, August 19th from 6 to 8. Topics will include meat grinders, mixers, slicers and tenderizers. The workshop will also cover dehydrators, food savers, sausage stuffers, and smokers. Also at the New Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse, we got Duck and Goose Hunting Workshop with Jeff Foyles, Wednesday, August 20th at 6 p.m. Learn everything you need to know to be a successful waterfowl hunter. got a basic GPS seminar coming up Thursday, August 21st at 6:30 p.m. All you need to know on how to operate your GPS unit. And if you want more information on any of the events coming up at the New Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse, you can get them online at sportsmanswarehouse.com, or you can call them at 262-641-2000.
All right, and the Rough Grouse Society has a number of banquets coming up. Cambridge, Minnesota has a banquet August 22nd, Dubuque, Iowa, August 23rd, Grand Rapids, Michigan, August 27th, and two in Minnesota, Hackensack and the Twin Cities, on August 28th. For details on these and other upcoming events, log on to roughedgrousesociety.org, and you'll find the events there, and you'll also find information on how you can enter the RGS National Upland Bird Dream Hunt Raffle with some great prizes, including a sharptail and Hungarian partridge hunt in Montana and the Rough Grouse National Grouse and Woodcock Hunt in Grand Rapids, Minnesota next October. And there's a big event coming up at Milford Hills tomorrow. That's
tomorrow,
the Outdoor Wisconsin Family Adventure Day.
It's 10 to 4
yep.
tomorrow at Milford Hills.
Yep.
And you can get information online yet?
At milfordhills.com. Yep. Or the Channel 10 Friends website, which is mptvfriends.org.
There's going to be a lot of people out there. We talk to Cindy Overton all the time. She's going to be there. Of course, you'll be there.
That's right. I'll be there. And Bruce Halverson, a dog trainer, will be there. Chris Cantrell of Milford Hills will give folks shooting lessons if they want them. And Steve Pagel of Forge Bow is going to have a long-range archery novelty shoot. You can bring your own bow and arrows if you like and see how well you can shoot. Or you can use his bows and arrows, and if you hit the target, you can be in the drawing for a certificate good for $200 off on one of his bows.
That's all coming up tomorrow.
That's right.
At Milford Hills.
Milford Hills.
MilfordHills.com for any of the other information, right?
Right.
There's a pheasant field day hosted by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources at State Game Farm in Poignet, Wisconsin, Saturday, September 6th. 8 a.m. is the registration. You can join them to celebrate pheasant hunting and habitat management in Wisconsin. The field day is going to feature presentations by the DNR and Pheasants Forever. It's also going to offer a dog training seminar, trapping demonstrations, and fur bearer management from the Wisconsin Trappers Association, tours of the state game farm, and BB gun and archery range, and more, so you can bring the family. Food will be available on-site, which proceeds going to the Friends of the McKenzie Environmental Education Center. And, of course, everybody hopes to see you there. And it's a great thing to get prepared for pheasant hunting.
Absolutely. It's a great location, too. I point out in McKenzie, there's some good things there for the whole family. So we'll be right back.
Yeah, I'm going to miss her all the days. I've got a bite on.
This portion of our show is brought to you by the Ruffed Grouse Society, celebrating more than 45 years of habitat improvement for ruffed grouse, woodcock, and other forest wildlife on the web at ruffedgrousesociety.org. And Jeff, we have the Director of Conservation Policies with the Ruffed Grouse Society joining us.
All right.
And that's Dan Desiker of Rice Lake, Wisconsin. Dan, how are you?
Very well.
Well, that's good. And, you know, we have heard of this topic that we're going to talk about for some time now, but really have not taken the opportunity to get you on the air and to talk about it. Now, I understand that President Bush last year about this time issued an executive order mandating federal agencies to do something about increasing hunting on federal lands, and you're involved in that.
Correct. Last August, President Bush, as you suggest, distributed an executive order that directed federal agencies with significant land management responsibilities to facilitate the expansion and enhancement of hunting opportunities and the management of game species and their habitats. And one of the entities responsible for working with the federal government to ensure that the objective of that executive order was met was a group called the Sporting Conservation Council.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an advisory council to the administration that was established by this administration about 3 years ago.
Okay. And you are a member of that council, along with Christine Thomas, who is the chairperson of our Natural Resources Board, right?
And the dean of the College of Natural Resources at UWSP, correct.
And the founder of the Becoming an Outdoorsman program.
That's right.
Yes. So, have you folks done anything yet?
You know, it's been a pretty intense process, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. The executive order was released in August of last year, 2007, and it said that within 1 year of its release, a North American Wildlife Policy Conference would be convened, and part of that conference would be the development, or the first steps, if you will, in the development of a 10-year plan for wildlife conservation in the U.S. Very, very lofty goals, and a very short time scale.
Mm-hmm.
A lot has been done. We have met on numerous occasions across the country, literally hundreds of people, pulling together input from non-governmental organizations, state agencies, federal agencies, to identify recommendations that we can make, we meaning the council, if you will, to the administration to meet the objectives of the executive order, again, to facilitate the expansion of hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taken a lot of time.
Now, you say this is a 10-year process, so this is going well beyond the Bush administration.
Correct. There was a conference that was supposed to be convened within 1 year of the date of the release of the executive order. We're going to miss that by a month or two. There are two separate events that will be upcoming. One is a conference in Washington where we hope to bring in members of Congress and explain some of the recommendations that we have put forward in the hopes that those recommendations will indeed be carried forward from the congressional level and indeed beyond just this administration, because, of course, this administration sunsets mm-hmm. in January of 2009.
Mm-hmm.
The second meeting is scheduled for Reno, Nevada, the first week in October. And everything is still in a bit of flux, but what we think will occur at that meeting, it will be, in essence, to some degree, a public celebration of what hunting means to wildlife conservation in this country, what it has always meant, and what we hope it will mean in the future.
Now, which public lands or public agencies overseeing lands are we talking about here?
Primarily the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the U.S. Department of the Interior.
Mm-hmm.
And when you put those two together, that's about 700 million acres of public lands.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big chunk of the landscape. In Wisconsin, 1.5 million acres of national forest on the Shawamigan and Nicolet National Forest, plus numerous fish and wildlife refuges. And it's a significant chunk of the landscape. And we hope to be able to affect the management thereof that will benefit game populations and hunting.
Okay. Now, what do you think the long view results of this work might be?
Well, long term, it really boils down to, will we be able to attract and retain hunter numbers relatively similar to what we have now, and will we be able to retain hunter interest?
Mm-hmm.
And hunter opportunity 10 years down the road. Will my daughter, will your children be able to experience the same thing that you and I have been able to do 25 years hence?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, Jeff, you've been a hunter for a number of years.
Yeah.
And you know a lot of other young people who are hunters, but are there a lot of people in your people you associate with who don't hunt or whose families used to and they don't anymore?
There's a few. I mean, it's something that I went through school and even a lot of kids that hunted even back in high school, now that they're kind of out on their own, they've just kind of faded away from it and they probably won't raise their kids into it as well. So
uh-huh.
It is something we got to look at.
Yeah. Now, Dan, it's too early perhaps to say, what are you folks going to do to fix that problem? Not that you guys are going to fix it, but is this something that is a national trend that we're seeing across the country?
Well, there's no question that hunter numbers as a percentage of the gross population are indeed declining. We've got about 20 million people who have purchased a hunting license and hunted within one of the past 2 years. And of course, not everyone hunts every year, but we still consider those folks who don't perhaps hunt this year but did last year as hunters.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of folks out there with a great interest in it. And thankfully, even folks who don't hunt recognize the benefits of hunting and are very strong supporters thereof.
Mm-hmm.
70-80% of the population in the U.S. considers hunting to be an appropriate use, an appropriate recreational activity, and they understand the values thereof.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, you work for the Rough Grouse Society, and not all Rough Grouse Society members are hunters, although I would say the vast majority are likely to be hunters. But there are people who support conservation organizations who are simply interested in wildlife conservation and natural resources. Isn't that right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and quite frankly, studies have shown this in state after state, that the majority of the folks who contribute to what we used to call the chickadee checkoff, mm-hmm. the non-game fund on our tax returns, the majority of those folks were hunters because they have a strong appreciation for the natural world, for the critters out there, just as many people who don't hunt have an appreciation for what hunters do.
Now, what kind of impact on the Rough Grouse Society itself might your work in this on this council have?
Could be a very direct impact. One of the recommendations that the council is making to the federal government is that the federal government, and in some states they control a significant part of the landscape, should work with state agencies to meet state game population objectives. It doesn't do any good for, say, the state of Wisconsin to try and sustain, and I'll use example, rough grouse populations at current levels so we can sustain harvest at current levels if the federal government, which controls 1.5 million acres, is going to significantly reduce habitat for rough grouse.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are suggesting that the states and the federal agencies need to work together to identify opportunities sustain gain populations at state target levels to meet hunter expectations.
And, of course, RGS has already begun working with the Shawamigan Nicolet here in Wisconsin. I understand there's a memorandum of cooperation?
Correct. We have signed an MOU, a memorandum of understanding, with the Shawamigan Nicolet, I think, about 2 or 3 years ago mm-hmm. on a specific project set. The society has been working with the national forests and the state forests and, of course, county forests. We've got 28 counties in Wisconsin that have forest systems for, gosh, over 2 decades already.
Mm-hmm. And a good part of that work is towards sustaining young forests for grouse and woodcock and other species that use that that type of habitat.
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah. Okay. Is there anything else on the council or the president's executive order that we've missed here that's worth reporting on?
Well, I think it's telling that this is the first time since Theodore Roosevelt back in 1906-1908 where hunting has taken such a position, if you will, on the front burner of the federal agenda of the federal government. And that's, as a hunter, that's just very gratifying.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, and we certainly hope that it continues into the next administration and beyond as your work with Congress starts to bear fruit.
That's what we're shooting for.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dan.
You bet.
That portion of our show was brought to you by the Rough Grouse Society, celebrating more than 45 years of habitat improvement for rough grouse, woodcock, and other forest wildlife, on the web at roughgrousesociety.org.
Available now in stores and dealers near you, Ironclad Soft Bait Brands, as seen and demonstrated around the U.S. at major trade shows, Ironclad Soft Baits are taking the sport fishing industry by storm.
Discover why Bassmaster Magazine lists Ironclad's a hot lure buy for 08, and why Ironclad's won the overall Best in Show Award at the Chicagoland Outdoor Show.
Take it from 2007 Co-Angler of the Year in the American Bass Anglers Grand Slam Series, Billy Applin.
Ironclad baits, they give me that competitive edge, win tournaments day in and day out.
Discover why nearly indestructible Ironclads are ushering in the soft bait revolution.
Or take it from Thomas Jones, 2007 National Champion of the American Bass Anglers Fishing Tour.
Yeah, I've caught 16 bass on one Ironclad lure in 3 hours.
Anglers, ask for Ironclad Soft Bait Brands at stores and dealers near you.
Available online at buyironclads.com or call toll-free 877-513-3535.
I spent a lot of time in the great outdoors, and I found that nothing cooks better or faster than a Camp Chef modular cooking system. It's great for cooking, grilling, frying, or even smoking. And these heavy-duty kitchens are built to go anywhere. Plus, if your power goes out, they're perfect as an emergency kitchen. Want to make a good thing that much better? Try customizing your Camp Chef kitchen with a complete line of accessories. So if you want high performance from a great portable kitchen, make Camp Chef your choice for great outdoor meals.
Camp Chef's lineup of outdoor cooking gear can help you prepare great meals outdoors anytime, anywhere. Slow smoke ribs in the smoke vault on a lazy afternoon. Get camp meals done fast and tasty with an Explorer stove. And be the envy of every other tailgater at the game using the big gas grill. Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors. Now in your neck of the woods at Cabela's, Dick's, Gander Mountain, Lowe's, Mills Fleet Farm, Sportsman's Warehouse, and other fine outdoor retailers.
Hey, Judy, want to pull in ashore and get some lunch?
I don't know. I hate to leave the boat sitting here with all these expensive electronics on board.
Not a problem. Look, I've got a universal electronics lock from DuraSafe. It's a tough little inexpensive way to stop electronics thieves dead in the water.
That sounds cool. Hey, if you like that idea and want to know more, visit DuraSafeLocks.com today and check out the universal electronics lock.
That's DuraSafeLocks.com.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
You'll enjoy upland bird hunting, sporting clays, and shooting instruction year-round at Milford Hills Hunt Club near Johnson Creek. Milford Hills also has a well-stocked pro shop and a stunning lodge and banquet facility eager to cater your special event. Check out the new automated sporting clays system and enjoy sporting clays now at reduced prices. In August and September, Milford Hills Hunt Club is open Wednesday and Thursday from 4 p.m. until dusk, and Saturday and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. The Milford Hills 8-week Fall Sporting Clays League for 3-person teams starts Sunday, September 7th. Sign up your team today. Let Milford Hills Hunt Club cater your client or corporate outing, your fundraiser, your wedding or bachelor party. The groom and best man shoot free at a bachelor party outing of 15 or more. Located north of I-94 near Johnson Creek, Milford Hills Hunt Club is Wisconsin's only 5-star shooting facility. Call 920-699-2249 or visit them on the web at milfordhills.com.
This next segment is brought to you by Ashland County and the Ashland Area Chamber of Commerce. On the web at visitashland.com. Now, Jeff, Roger LePenter is joining us on the line.
I've heard a lot about this gentleman.
Yeah, well, you should fish with him sometime.
I will keep that open in my book here.
You'd take Jeff out and catch some of those smallies, wouldn't you, Roger?
Not a problem.
All right.
Well, Roger runs Anglers All in Ashland, the bait shop right there on the lakeshore, and he's our source for information on not only on Shawamigan Bay, but on the whole area, fishing and hunting information. So, Raj, I'm guessing that with the stable weather we've seen the last couple weeks, you're probably still doing pretty well on the smallies.
The fishing has not changed since May.
Really?
It's been excellent. Probably the best summer I've seen in 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah, there's good numbers of fish. There's a good variety of fish. And pretty much any way you like to fish is possible this year.
Okay.
The trolling has been exceptional. Anywhere from flat lining to bottom bouncing out in 100 foot of water, as shallow as 20 foot of water. There's guys still dragging stick baits with planer boards.
Catching what?
Catching lake trout, browns. Some salmon are starting to show up, mm-hmm. and some rainbows.
Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of, wow, it's just a different year. The evenings have been very cool,
mm-hmm.
so the water temperatures haven't gotten really hot this year. We've been probably averaging in the low 70s, high 60s in the bay.
Okay, wow.
So we've seen brown trout in the bay all the way through the hex hatch
mm-hmm.
All last month. And just last week I picked up my first salmon out in the shallow water.
Huh, okay.
Actually, off of Long Island.
Okay. Well, that's good. Now, we I was up, Judy and I both were up in Vilas County and Oneida County last weekend fishing, and I fished after that cold front. It was 40 degrees that morning. And you know what that means to muskies? Forget it. And, my guide and others were telling us it's been a crazy fall for that area, but, or crazy, I say fall, crazy summer that feels like fall for that area.
Exactly. No, it's been cool, but it hasn't been cool. Like today, it's probably up around 76, 77 degrees. It's beautiful.
Good.
And it'll be down in the 50s tonight.
Yeah, okay. Well, tell us about the bass then.
Bass continued just to be great. I mean, there's very little pressure this year. Very active. They're out in the deeper water. You just have to find a 1 or 2 foot break in the bottom, and you're going to find bass. I purposely went out early this morning just to check a few breaks on the way out to Long Island, and every break was holding bass.
Wow.
I mean, it was very, very simple. You can fish them with tubes. You can fish them with twister tails. Pretty much wacky worm them, just about anything. They're very, very aggressive right
now. Okay. Are you still doing some fly fishing?
Yes, still doing some fly fishing. That's a little more selective. You have to know the spots to go find them on a fly. Oh, except for one area out off of Long Island, we were catching them in poppers over 30 foot of water.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
What were they doing up there?
Got me.
Yeah, okay.
I was really happy they were there, but I've never really seen them come up on the surface from that far out before.
Wow. Yeah, they had to be up suspended for something.
Yeah, there's a lot of minnows swimming around, and I'm sure that's what they were after.
Yeah, okay. Are the perch doing anything?
You know, I'd love to say yes, but no. The perch probably been the slowest fishing all summer.
Okay, how about northerns?
Northerns have been very good. Yes, the deep water northern fishing has been excellent. We pick up 3-4 of them every day.
Uh-huh, okay. Inland lakes, how are they doing?
Most of them are doing great. The pan fishing continues to be really exceptionally active this year. The walleye fishing on the bigger lakes has been good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the northern fishing has been very good.
Okay. So what I hear you saying here is that Ashland County and the Bay have some good fishing, and folks should come on up.
Yeah, with the temperature swings and the weather changes, which we haven't had much rain up here at all, so we're almost in a drought condition, actually.
Huh.
They're talking the next couple of weeks we're going to see some rain, and I'm sure that's going to change things a little bit, you know, when we get these highs and lows coming through.
So we should get up there
all
now.
All in all, should be good. Yeah, right?
this
week should be great.
Do you still have openings in late August and September if people want to fish?
September's almost full now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, late August, it's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there
September
are
and October, there are some openings.
Okay, so there are other guides you can hook people up with.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay. Well, Raj, we'll talk with you in a couple of weeks. We're going to alternate with you and Brian Long and get a series of reports on the Ashland area, and we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Terrific.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Roger.
That was Roger LePenter of Anglers All in Ashland, and their website is anglersallwisconsin.com, and their phone number is 715-682-5754. And this was the Ashland County Report brought to you by Ashland County and the Ashland Area Chamber of Commerce on the web at visitashland.com. This portion of our show is brought to you by the Great Outdoors Festival, August 22 through 24 at the EAA Grounds in Oshkosh, on the web at greatoutdoorsfestival.com. And Jeff, that's coming up next weekend?
Yeah, excited about that. It's they always have a great thing out there for it, and looking forward to it this year.
And Wendy Hillsberg, she's the Executive Director of the Oshkosh Convention and Visitors Bureau, is joining us to talk about the festival. Wendy, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
You're quite welcome. Now, tell us, in a nutshell, what is in store for folks who go to the Great Outdoors Festival this year?
Well, if people haven't been there, this is their 10th year, and this is a great family hands-on sport festival. Seminars, activities, demonstrations, exhibitors. You can try, buy, feel, and all the sport equipment. It's just wonderful.
Now, you have it organized by villages. So can you explain the village concept?
Yes. There are villages, which we can start, for example, an ATV village.
Mm-hmm.
So you can drive the latest ATVs by, you know, Honda, Yamaha, John Deere. Then they have an off-road village, which is a 4x4 village with the latest trucks and SUVs. There's a fishing village, so you can fly fish, and kids can fish. I've never fished before. It was kind of neat to cast off and figure out how to do that.
Uh-huh.
There's a biking and camping village. There's an archery village with 3D targets, bows, arrows, some great shooting demonstrations, some 3D archery.
That archery village is always my favorite because beginners can come up there and learn and shoot 3 arrows at a bear and hit something, and you know, they go away feeling like they've really accomplished something, which they have.
Yes, I've never done that either. That was exciting. And this year in the archery village, we have a trick shooter. His name is Randy Oetker.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell me that he can shoot lifesavers.
Wow.
He can be from so far away, and he's just an amazing target. So that will be interesting to watch.
He puts the arrow in the middle of the lifesaver.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's why I got to see that. And our most popular village is the Sporting Dog Village. Attendees are able to bring their dogs on site, and what some of these dogs can do, we have the dock dogs that jump. It's just, that's a neat village to see.
And you've got a retrieve contest this year too, right?
Yes, there's a retrieve, there's demonstrations, there's training, and there's a lot of contests in the dog village from the novice. You know, if you just think your dog can jump and just kind of test them with what other dogs do,
yeah.
It's really fun to watch.
So you can just bring your dog without pre-registering, or do you have to pre-register for that?
No, you don't have to pre-register as long as your dog has a license.
Uh-huh.
Bring your dog on a leash, and there's a lot of dogs there. It's very nice.
A license, a leash, and 4 legs, and you're in, right?
Yeah, and some water for the dog.
Okay.
So now you said this is a family event. There's a lot of things directed for the kids to do, of course, dad to do, and for mom to do as well, correct?
Well, if mom, you know, my boys go hunting and leave mom home to shop.
Uh-huh.
So I was able to actually canoe, kayak, fish. I can shoot a gun. I've never been able to do that before. So I think it's really exciting to kind of bring mom into this world that, you know, the men kind of do. So there are a lot of women here also.
Great. And the Conservation Village has some special activities for kids, I understand.
Yeah, there's a kids zone where there's activities designed specifically for the kids. And then the Conservation Village, the little ducks, and kind of teaches them about conservation and the wildlife. There is a lot to do for little kids.
All right. Now, tickets are still available at a discount, I understand?
Yes, tickets are available at any Gander Mountain or Festival Foods. And I would encourage you to get a ticket in advance because they are discounted.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets will be available at the door, but if you get them ahead of time, you can get a discount.
All right. And the website is greatoutdoorsfestival.com.
Correct.
Okay. And, you know, we're giving away tickets again this week on our show. We gave away 5 sets from last week's show, and this week's show we're going to do that again. And I'll just mention that number again so folks who want to get in on that drawing can call 414-297-7554 and leave your name and phone number. And if you're one of the lucky winners, we'll get your address and send you some tickets. Well, Wendy, we wish you the best of luck with this next weekend's festival, and we appreciate your taking some time to talk to us.
Great. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. That segment was brought to you by the Great Outdoors Festival next weekend, August 22 through 24 at the EAA grounds in Oshkosh. Information on the web at greatoutdoorsfestival.com.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Do you care enough to buy the best equipment? Unfortunately, what's desirable to you is desirable to thieves, too.
Introducing DuraSafe's trolling motor lock that fits all Minn Kota transom mount trolling motors.
It eliminates the hassle of removing and reattaching your motor whenever you pull into shore or while you sleep.
Visit DuraSafeLocks.com today to learn more about the DuraSafe trolling motor lock, inexpensive, lightweight protection for your valuable investment.
That's DuraSafeLocks.com.
Don't miss the Great Outdoors Festival at the EAA Convention Grounds in Oshkosh. It all starts August 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. The whole family can enjoy a variety of hands-on activities, and it's right in your backyard. Whether it's shooting, fishing, driving ATVs and trucks, biking, dog training, climbing, or boating, you can see, try, and buy it all at the Great Outdoors Festival. See log rolling exhibitions from the world champion Lumberjills and shooting demos from Tom Knapp. Meet NASCAR driver Dexter Bean. See the Dock Dogs, mountain rack scoring by Boone and Crockett, and the latest in outdoor products and much more. Bring the family dog and enter the new fastest retrieve competition. Get advanced discount tickets at participating Festival Foods and Gander Mountain locations or online at greatoutdoorsfestival.com. You don't have to drive far to do it all at the Great Outdoors Festival at the EAA, August 22nd through the 24th. Sponsored by Toyota, Honda, Discover Wisconsin, John Deere, Kawasaki, Kubota, Kimco USA, Polaris Industries, Tractor Supply Company, The Sportsman Channel, Yamaha, Cabela's, Wisconsin Public Service Corp, Miller Bradford and Risberg, and Whitetail Unlimited.
LakeLink, the hottest website in the great outdoors, just keeps getting better and better.
Log on and get all the latest fishing reports posted by fishermen just like you. Check out LakeLink's hunting forums, great recipes, product reviews, moon charts, pros pointers, and weather center.
LakeLink has been providing up-to-the-minute hunting and fishing reports for over 10 years.
As a member of LakeLink, you'll have access to lake maps that you can customize. You can add rock bars, weed lines, and other structure not shown on printed maps. And LakeLink will put GPS coordinates on your map to mark your spots.
You can also sell your used fishing gear at the online trading post and have fishing reports sent directly to your computer.
The LakeLink Advantage program offers discounts to LakeLink members at outdoor establishments throughout Wisconsin and beyond.
You can also catch us, Dan and Judy, on the LakeLink radio page. That's lake-link.com, keyword radio. Listen to this week's show or catch any of our past shows and send us your ideas or enter our weekly drawings for great giveaways. All on the lake-link.com, keyword radio.
Well, Jeff, it's that time once again, and you know what time I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, we get to talk to Cindy, don't we?
That's right. Cindy Overton for the Camp Chef Cooking Corner, which is brought to us by Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors. And the gal to cook outdoors is Cindy Overton of Black Pot Demos. How are you doing today?
No, really good. How are you guys?
I'm pretty
very good.
Yeah. So, you know, you and I talked when we saw each other at the conference last weekend up in Eagle River about doing the cowboy beans recipe, because Outdoor Wisconsin featured you cooking that, and we've had a lot of requests for the recipe. So have you got it for us?
I do. You've had requests, and so have I. So that's pretty
good.
Popular. We thought we better do that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, well, okay. So run us through it. How does it work?
All right. Well, for the cowboy beans, you want to get about a pound of the 15 bean mix, you know, the dried bean mix, kind of like a soup mix, about half a pound of bacon,
mm-hmm.
a pound of ground beef, a cup of ketchup, about 3 tablespoons of mustard. Then you're going to get a half a cup of brown sugar, 1 chopped onion, 2 tablespoons of seasoned salt, and 1 tablespoon of garlic powder.
Okay.
Those are your ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to clean and soak your beans overnight in water, just plain water.
Okay.
And then the next day when you're ready to cook, you're going to brown the ground beef and bacon. And then you're going to add the onion, and you're going to saute the onion until it's nice and clear, right in with the bacon and the ground beef.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to add all the other ingredients and add water till it's really liquidy, because these beans are going to soak up a bunch of water.
Right.
And cover it and bake it for about 4 to 6 hours till the beans are tender. Cooking time's going to depend a lot on the type of beans. You know, if you get that 15 bean mix, you're probably going to want to go the longer time, because some of those beans in there don't get tender real easy.
Okay. Now, you did this in the Dutch oven on a campfire when we did the TV show.
Right. If you're using a 12-inch Dutch oven, which this will fit in real well, you're going to put about 8 coals on the bottom in a circle and about 15 on the top.
Okay.
And just let it bake, and you're going to have to renew your coals about every 45 minutes to an hour.
So you'd keep your coals burning on the side in another, in a little fire ring, and then bring them over to the Dutch oven, right?
That's right. You can do that, or you can even, as your coals start to burn down, you can just add coals right to the top, and they'll catch. If they're touching the other coals, they'll catch on fire.
Okay.
And they'll burn good.
Good. Well, Cindy, we look forward to seeing you Sunday at Milford Hills at the Outdoor Wisconsin Family Day.
We're looking forward to being out there. That's going to be a really fun event.
And then the following weekend, where are you?
Following the weekend, we're going to be back in Door County at Harbor Village Camping Retreat in Carlsville, and we are cooking for Gilbert Brown. So we're going to be cooking for the Gilbert Brown Foundation.
That's a lot of food for Gilbert Brown, isn't it?
He's got an appetite, so I hope you bring a lot of food, yes.
He's got quite an appetite, you betcha, and I'm going to make him cook with me.
Oh, great. Right. That should be fun. All right, well, Cindy, we'll send folks to your website, which is blackpotdemos.com, and they can learn all about these upcoming events. And this segment was brought to you by Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors, on the web at campchef.com. Thanks, Cindy.
You've been listening to Outdoors Radio, brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource, on the web at lake-link.com, and by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com. I'm Dan Small. Join us again next week. I'll be out.